You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bible to the magnificent book of Mark, chapter 5, verse 1, where we left off last time. Mark, chapter 5, verse 1. Because I want to help you, I want to invite everybody in the world to come here every Wednesday at 6 p.m. We're live on the air. I teach another book of the Bible. But when we go off the air, I pray for everybody who comes one by name as the Holy Spirit leads according to his amazing gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And then we pray fervently for America every Wednesday, 6 p.m. Also, because I want to help you and love you, I invite everybody in the world to come here every Sunday at 5 p.m. for the live radio, internet, SoundCloud, Facebook, and Truth Social taping. I am in Suntree, Florida. I'm right beside Scott Mercer's The Produce Place. The Produce Place is at the corner of Wickham Road and Peter Causeway. I'm right there. You'll see a little sign with an arrow, Sherry, S-H-A-R-I, Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida, 32940. Excuse me. And now the curtain comes up on Mark chapter 5, verse 1. Jesus told his disciples, let's get in a boat and we're going to the other side. On the way to the other side, a big old bad storm arises and tries to kill them. But Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. So he said, peace be still. And the winds and the waves obeyed his will. And now they are almost at the other side. Jesus has a specific reason for going to the other side. What's on the other side? Therefore, from God's heart to my heart, to your heart, demons are assigned to different territories. Demons are assigned to different territories.
Verse 1, and they came over to the other side of the sea, unto the country of the Gadarenes.
It's another country. It's a different territory. It's a different location.
Verse 2. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit.
Tombs is death. The man lived in the tombs. He was dead in life. You and I before salvation were dead in trespasses and sin. So we lived in the tombs. An evil spirit is a disembodied demon, but they need a body, and they prefer a human body. If they can't find one, they'll take an animal. But they found this poor man.
Verse 3, and he had his dwelling among the tombs.
He dwelt there. He dwelt with death.
No man could bind him. No, not with chains. Verse 4. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces.
The human beings in that area were not spiritually minded, so they thought the man is insane. He's crazy. He's demented. So, not knowing what God would do, they tried to constrain him with chains. The supernatural power, the demons, broke them. Today, many people are locked up in asylums. When they're not crazy, they're not demented, they have a demon. Look at the word demented, demon, Ted. We have a leader in America who obviously is cognitively demented. And everybody thinks he's crazy. What if every Christian in America who had the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you'd have to have the anointing, the baptism, the anointing to swallow the yoke. What if we all got together the same day, the same time, and cast that demon out? Jesus told in Mark 16 that in his name, the authority of the name of Jesus, you have got the badge, cast out demons.
Amen.
Demented.
Mother, could any man tame him?
Human beings cannot tame demons. They try. Today, they give them medication. Look at little children. Now, not all of them, but some little children, because of their surroundings, have a little demon there, and they call them. They're too a little bit nervous there, and they give them medication. Well, see, how about we cast it out?
Verse 5, and always, night and day, because of the mountain, and in the tombs, sighing and cutting himself with stones.
Crying, help me, cutting himself. For the most part, when someone cuts themselves, it is definitely a demon, and can even be a suicidal demon. Not always. A woman came to my school, one of my services, and she told me that she had begun cutting herself. I immediately had the opportunity and cast out 5 demons out of her in the name of Jesus, by the blood of the Lamb and the glory of God. Hallelujah. A lot of suicide is because a person has a demon, not all. Sometimes it's other reasons, chemical imbalance, etc. But when you hear someone suicidal, maybe you might need to get someone who's anointed to cast that demon out.
Amen. Verse 6, but when he saw Jesus far off.
Now, he who, the demon or demons, or the man, saw Jesus far off. He was not close enough to Jesus to see the color of Jesus' eyes or his hair or his physique. How could he see Jesus afar off? Because he's going to know he's Jesus. Because we were all with God in a spirit body in the world that then was. 2 Peter 3:6 and 7, world age. Ecclesiastes 12:6 and 7. When you kick the bucket, your spirit returns to God who gave us all spirits. And before Lucifer rebelled, that old devil, and brought sin the equation, we all were spirits and we worshiped God. Spirits are disembodied demons. And so these demons were them, and they recognized Jesus. Now, a demon also recognizes Jesus when a human being has the anointing of Jesus on them. They think it's Jesus, because the anointing means Jesus paints himself on you, and the demon is afraid.
He ran and worshipped him. Verse 7.
Because that's what you do.
And cried with a loud voice, and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee, my God, that thou torment me not.
In other words, look, we're over here in our territory here. We're not bothering you, Jesus. So, what are you doing here? We know you're the Son of God. We know you can cast us out. Don't torment us. Torment, don't send us to the abyss. If you send a demon to the abyss, that's a death sentence for them. Right now, the prophecy of Revelation 16 has come true. It says, at the end of the age, we are at the end of the age, The river Euphrates will be open. It's a metaphor. And all the demons of hell will be loosed on planet Earth. They are all over the place, disembodied spirits, but they're also looking for bodies. Now, when Jesus, at his time, it was not time to send them to the abyss because some of them had to be here today to aggravate us. Demons are on a leash. They test us. We have to be overcomers. We have to overcome them. But now, at the end of the age, now we can send them to the abyss. So he says, don't send us to the abyss, please. We know you're going to cast us out.
Verse 8, that he said unto him,
Jesus said,
come out of a man, thou unclean spirit.
Notice that Jesus didn't talk to the man. Look, brother, I'm about to cast a demon out. I don't mean to hurt your feelings. I know you're sweet and nice, and I'm not talking to you, but there's a demon in you. Straight to the demon. A lot of you are being too nice. You know perfectly well that's a demon in that person. I've had to take someone I loved and led to the Lord and take a jackhammer. I didn't apologize or anything, and that person's totally sane right now. You don't talk to the person. The person is bound. Talk to the demon. But what's a demon's name? Is it depression? Is it lust? Is it lying? Is it greediness? What is its name? Amen. You want to call it by name.
Verse 9, and he asked him, what is thy name?
Now, Jesus is omniscient. He knows everything about everything. When God asks you a question, he knows the answer, but he wants you to open your mouth and confess it, like in the Garden of Eden. Before Adam and Eve had sinned, they walked with God. But after they sinned, they saw they were naked and clothed themselves with fig leaves on the body of their part where they had sinned. But God came walking in the cool of the garden, and they hid. And God said, why'd you hid? They said, because we were naked. God said, who told you you were naked? God knew. So Jesus wants this demon to tell him the name, because that means the demon has confessed that he's there. Confession, okay? Legion.
The answerer said, my name is Legion, for we are many.
Legion, for we are many. There's a whole bunch of them in there. In the Roman government there, a legion was 6,000 men. This one man is overtaken by 6,000 demons. Six had biblical numerics, the number of depraved mankind, and also the number of the soon coming Antichrist, fake Christ, the devil with his Jesus costume on. Six. The devil has totally taken over this man. There's a leader. He's not on the scene right now, but he's backing up the demonic leader. I saw a snake come out of his mouth. A lot of these people that you see are not people at all. They're demons. Do you know the difference? Holy Spirit will give you the gift to show you. Discernment of spirits.
Amen. Verse 10. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country.
Now look at that. He knows Jesus is going to cast them out. 6,000. Just don't send us out of our country. Why is that? The devil has an army. He's got generals and lieutenants and majors and privates. First class, second class, third class. And he assigns them to different locations. And he's their commander-in-chief. The devil assigns demons to individual people, especially people who are called and chosen of God, like the Apostle Paul. Paul said he had a messenger of Satan sent to buffet him. Buffet means strike. Those demons can actually slap you. I had one slap me one time. There was nobody in the room. A messenger is an angel, but it's a fallen angel, an evil spirit. There's a wonderful man on television. While I'm getting everything ready for church each Sunday night, I turn on the television to watch him, and he openly confessed that he's oppressed by a demon called depression. And Lord knows, all of us who are on the front line in battle, we know that we have power over them, Luke 10:19, over scorpions and serpents, demons and devils, in the name and authority of Jesus, and we can cast them out so we don't succumb to them. And the devil assigns demons to families. Usually in a family, hopefully, there's one person there who's really called, chosen, elected. And the others kind of, you know, go along for the ride. They're not as strong. So the devil assigns a demon to the weakest link in that family, because that is going to dissipate the one called and chosen. He will not get his duty done because he's going to defer to the family. It's a family unit. And all of a sudden, the family's not so gung-ho about God. Some of them not going to church anymore. Very few feel with the Holy Spirit. But you can cast that one out. How about the Kennedy family? Rose Kennedy, the matriarch, loved the Lord. She's in heaven now. She was a faithful, faithful believer. But Lord knows her family. She was married to Joe Kennedy. And the devil sent a demon to destroy that family. For all that family has a calling to serve. The elder daughter, one of the daughters, had a lobotomy. They had a brain taken out. Another daughter was killed in an airplane crash. Her son, President John Fitzgerald Kennedy, was assassinated before he even finished his first term. Her other son, Robert Kennedy, was assassinated. He was the attorney general running for president. And her son, Ted Kennedy, had a woman he should not have had in a car, ran off a bridge, Chappaquiddick, and she drowned. So some of you say, well, we don't do all that. How about the weakest link? Notice you don't hear about coming to church so much anymore. It's okay. You're not really hungry for the Holy Spirit. Look out. Individuals, families, the devil sends demons to churches. Lord knows I know that. The devil's method of operation is a church, because he wants to get in there and make the Christians think they're saved, and he wants to rob them of the word, of prayer, and of the Spirit. So if the word's not taught there properly, book by book, chapter by verse, if the Holy Spirit's not there, if prayer power anointed by the Holy Spirit's not there, the devil comes in. But he'll find that anointed church. I found he comes in piggyback. He comes in on people, and they come in smiling. Wow, this is great. I like you. Anything I can do for you? This is great. Need any equipment? And boom, right behind your back, they go to destroy it. Well, I'm on to them. We don't let them stay very long. But of course, there are many, many churches. They call it the word, but it's man's word. The Holy Spirit is not filling that place. No one, even the pastor, has the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And nobody knows how to pray. They say in words, but the Holy Spirit's not praying through them. And they think they're all right. And that's the devil's ploy, to go to churches, to make you think you're saved and you're not saved. The devil sends demons to businesses. Look at Chick-fil-A. What a burden they have carried from the government. But Chick-fil-A has stood their ground. They will not open their business on Sunday. You've got 6 days to work. I know the Sabbath used to be Saturday, but you're Sunday, you need to close the church. You're causing people not to go to church, and you're putting mammon before that, and they will not do that. Look at President Donald John Trump, Business Enterprises. He's a Christian. He gives hundreds of thousands of great jobs to hundreds of thousands of people and loves them. And look what they're trying to do to him. Yours truly, Sherry Medlock here. God told me to start a school of music, speech, Bible, and manners. I had to have a business license to do it. All hell came against me. I was terrorized by drug gangs and driven out of my location quite a few times, but I persevered. Our own Scott Merson, Produce Place, I've known him almost 10 years now, and all I've seen is demons coming to attack. But we have power over that.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Businesses. The devil sends people to demons, to cities. Look at New York City. Look at Chicago. You cannot walk down the street there safely. Those illegal immigrants coming in New York, some of them are demons, many are demon-possessed. They're sucker-punching young women on the streets. It's dangerous there, cities. They don't get the small cities as much because the small country places are more Jesus-minded. And then he sends people to media. I'm in the media. Right now I'm in the media. You wouldn't believe what I go through or have gone through to keep this thing going. But of course I'm on to them. But the demons have come and taken over most of our media, the mainstream media, and all we hear are lies, 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 propaganda. That is demonic. That is not those journalists. They're not journalists. They are demon possessed. We could cast them out, you know. We do have a few good ones. The devil assigns demons to states. He assigned demons to Texas. Texas is a Christian state. Governor Greg Abbott is a devoted Christian. Ken Paxton, Attorney General, I prayed for him. He was falsely accused of something because he was associated with President Trump. He got off free. But look at the borders. The demons are trying to destroy Texas, but they're holding their own. But look at California. That's a goner. New York. Yes, it should be the place we wanted to go to. We wanted to see a Broadway show. New York, New York. Not anymore. People are running from New York. Sean Hannity, a Christian media, said he couldn't take it anymore. He moved to Florida. We're a Christian state. We got a Christian governor. Ron DeSantis, praise the Lord. We're a Christian state. They're having to flee that. And then the devil assigns demons to nations. Definitely the nation of Israel. That is nothing but demonic force there. Hamas is demonic. I look at Venezuela. That used to be a great country, rich and powerful. But communism, that's demonic. Socialism, Marxism came in. And those people had to flee for their lives. I taught a woman in my school in Cocoa piano. And she had to run from Venezuela for her life. She made a lot of money there. She was a very brilliant physicist. And they took all of her money and she ran to America for freedom. And now, the United States of America. Because we were founded as a Christian nation, one nation under God through Jesus Christ our Lord, and our schools were founded in churches to teach our children the Bible, the devil has really sent the greatest demon to America, the demon of death. Death's name is the devil, Hebrews 2:14. Why? Because we were a Christian nation and Jesus is life. Iran chants, death to America, death to America. And right now on the news, citizens in America, death to America, death to America. That's because the devil, whose name is death, wants to put life, push Jesus' life out of America. We also in America, we're harassed by not only the demon of death, but the demon of lying. Have you ever seen, heard so many lies? All we get are lies from the politicians and from the media. Lies, lies, lies. The devil is a liar. Mark 8, you know, the father of lies. And then we have the demon of power. It started with Lucifer. He wanted to overpower God's kingdom. They'll do anything. They'll throw somebody in jail who's innocent just to stay in power. And then America, we got a demon of mammon, money. Sorry, even Christians do that. Some Christians never get to church because they're too busy making money, money, money. Lord have mercy. We have power over that. What if America, every anointed Christian in America, got together the same time, the same day, and have had America's Day of Repentance returning to Jesus, and we prayed and did 2 Chronicles 7:14, we could drive all of those demons out. We know their names, death, lying, power, mammon. We can get them out of here. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's do it. Let's do it.
Verse 11. And there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding.
Now, just right there, there's a whole bunch of hogs. Oh, Lordy.
Verse 12. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them.
6,000 demons. Okay, we know you're going to cast us out. We got to have a body. Send us into those pigs. A pig, a hog, is an unclean animal. Leviticus 11, God tells you things that are good to eat and not to eat. A pig is unclean because it eats cockroaches, rats, snakes, rotten food, decayed food, rotten tomatoes. It does a good thing. It's nature's vacuum cleaner. It cleans all that up for you. Those demons knew the pigs were unclean, and it's easier for them to get in an unclean vessel than a clean vessel. Even Christians invite them in. You open doors to demons by what you see, what you hear, what you say, what you think, what your hands do, what your feet go, and the people with whom you associate. Some of you, that cell phone has got you demonized, and you're a Christian, and you don't even realize it. All kind of depression, all kind of nervousness coming to you. And see, close those doors. But the pigs, I mean, they're unclean. So if a demon sees something unclean, they'll jump in. Stay clean.
Verse 13. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave.
Methinks Jesus had a twinkle in his eye. Okay, go at it.
And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine.
Now we're going to find out there are 2,000 hogs and 6,000 demons. Well, 6,000 demons and 2,000 hog is better than 6,000 demons in one man. At least they got a little bit of wiggle room. Piggly wiggly? You get it. I couldn't help it.
And the herd ran violently down a steep place.
Even the pigs had better sense than let demons live in them. Lord have mercy. Even Christians coming to church with a demon. Government officials. What's the matter with you human beings? Have more respect for yourself than that.
And to the sea, there were about 2,000 and choked in the sea. Verse 14.
Now the pigs died, but the demons did not die because Jesus did not send them to the abyss. Now, because demons are all over the earth, we're the end of the age. When I pray for someone and see they got a demon, we say send to the abyss. That's a death sentence for them. Amen. They still had more work to do. Some of those demons are here right now because they got to do their dirty work. See, you are supposed to recognize them by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus gives you authority, and you're supposed to cast them out of other people. By the way, that person that you associate with and they're so difficult, have you ever thought that maybe it's not just their personality? Have you ever prayed about it and thought maybe the poor person has a demon? Why don't you pray about that?
And they that fed the swine fled.
Okay, they had some hog keepers there. They're going to run.
And told it in the city and in the country.
They told everybody, Lordy, Lordy, Miss Claudie.
And they went out to see what it was.
What happened here?
Was done.
Everybody comes to see. Everybody in the city, in the country. And guess who else is coming to see? The person who owned those 2,000 pigs. Pork belly. Their money's gone. Who is this? What happened here?
Verse 15. And they come to Jesus.
You're the one that did it, Jesus.
And see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind.
They should be so glad. This poor outcast man living in the tombs, cutting himself. They should be so glad that he's free. But see, you and I are that man. We were dead in trespasses and sin. We all lived in the tombs of death. And then Jesus came along and saved our soul and cast death out of us. Amen. We were out of our mind. A person who's lost is out of their mind. But we put on the mind of Christ. And we're not naked anymore in our sins. We're clothed with the robe of righteousness. You are that man. I am that man.
Amen.
Glory to God.
And they were afraid.
Terrified.
Verse 16. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine.
They told him how Jesus cast him out, how he sent him into the swine. They told him about the demons.
Verse 17. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast.
The hog owners and other people, get out of here, Jesus. Demons know Jesus. They know a person who's got it. I've seen times they sit quietly and all of a sudden they run out the door because they knew that I saw the demon in them. They don't want to be around Jesus. Go away, because Jesus has power over them, but so do you. If you're anointed, he paints himself on you. And in his name, the victory is blood by the word of God, by the Holy Spirit. You cast him out.
Verse 18. And when he was come into the ship, he that was possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him.
Notice Jesus didn't fight. He came into the ship. I have a beautiful picture put there by my door. Give it to you by a friend long ago, Ken Titus. God bless you, Ken. And it's Jesus knocking on the door of your heart. He's a gentleman. He could open the door. It's not locked. But you have to open it from the inside. They didn't want Jesus, so Jesus left. If you want Jesus, invite him into your heart. And so, they want him to leave. Everybody's marveling.
Verse 19. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not.
The man says, I want to go with you, Jesus. Of course he did. Jesus loved him. Those other people were mean to him. They bound him. Who wants to be with those kind of people? I want to go with you, Jesus. Amen. We all want to go with Jesus. Amen. Jesus says, no.
But said unto him, go home to thy friend.
You've got some real friends at home. Not these people, but you've got some friends. Go home.
And tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee and had compassion on thee.
Go tell them how good God is to you. Go and tell. God took this one man, outcast of society, called demented. Everybody gave up on him. A crazy person. And made a preacher out of him. Look at that. Just think what the Lord could do with you if you yield all to him.
Verse 20. And he departed and began to publish in the capitals how great things Jesus had done for him.
The Bible says the Lord gave the word and great was the company of those that publish it. He's just telling everybody, go and tell. You're supposed to go and tell. Are you telling? Are you going?
Amen.
And all men did marvel.
What a marvelous thing this is. How marvelous is Jesus. Demons are assigned to different territories. I do pray this will help you to recognize them and cast them out. I pray you are blessed.
Amen.
Let me introduce to you the owner of the produce place who's overcoming all those demonic forces,
Amen.
Scott Merson. Well, David left his stuff in the cart, as he could put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account to himself to God. Romans 14:11-12.
Amen.
Absolutely. And we are accountable to cast these demons out. It is a commandment. Thank you.
Amen.
For anyone in cyberspace who's not saved, or anyone in here, pray this prayer with me and mean it with all your heart, and the Lord will save you right now. Here we go. Almighty God, in Jesus' name, I am a sinner.
Almighty God, in Jesus' name, I am a sinner.
I repent of all my sins.
I repent of all my sins.
I change my mind.
I change my mind.
I'm not going to be demented anymore.
I'm not going to be demented anymore.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
Jesus Christ, Son of God, come into my heart and save my soul.
Jesus Christ, Son of God, come into my heart and save my soul.
Forgive all my sins.
Forgive all my sins.
You took them on your body on the tree.
You took them on your body on the tree.
Wash my sins away with your precious blood.
Wash my sins away with your precious blood.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire.
Make me usable to win many souls to Jesus. I confess with my mouth before the whole wide world.
I confess with my mouth before the whole wide world.
That Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Amen. Now, for those of you in cyberspace, you need to tell someone. Romans 10 says, with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. I invite you to tell me. In a little while, Scott will give you my telephone number. Call that number. It's my voicemail. Leave a confession only. When I get it, I'll pray for you and welcome to the family of God. All new Christians, get yourself a Bible, Old Testament and New. They're all about Jesus. I suggest a King James Version. It is the only version that you can trace almost every word back to the original Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic, Syriac, and Chaldee, in which the Holy Spirit dictated it. Read that Bible every day. A little verse won't do you. Get it out of your head, into your heart, so you live by it. Find a place in your home, your prayer place, you and God. No food, no people, no cell phones, no radio, no television, no music, no cats, no dogs, just you and God. You need to be alone with Him. You're going to commune with Him. And now you call Him Father, Father, in the name of Jesus. Have your Bible there. From time to time, remind him of his word. Talk to him about his word. That's his language. Don't do all the talking. Talk to him about your life. Pray for other people and listen to him. And do not give up until you ask, seek, knock, and receive the full baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. For without that, you are not equipped to cast out those demons or lay hands on the sick. That's how you do it. Read Mark 16. You have to have the anointing, and the anointing destroys the yoke.
Amen.
And God bless you, and welcome to the family of God. Now, find a church that teaches God's word, book, chapter, verse, and line. I do that here every Sunday and every Wednesday in all the media. Go faithfully there on the Sabbath and midweek, because midweek is where the prayers grow. That's where you have time to learn how to pray after we go off the air. Don't just watch the show. Find things you can do. Pray about it. Ask the Holy Spirit, what does the pastor need? What the people need? What can I do to make it better? Invite people in. Bring lost people in. Help it to grow. Pray, fast for it, and be very faithful then. And remember, return your tithe where you get fed God's word. And if you do that diligently and faithfully, God will richly bless you. And welcome to the family of God. Now, for those of you who are sick, try to place your hand on whatever it is that is bothering you. And we'll speak to that place, okay, in Jesus' name. In the mighty name and the power of Jesus, we call forth the healing virtue of Jesus into this part of this person's body. Let the healing waters flow. The stripes of Jesus flowing into that area, rejuvenating. Pain be gone. Disease be gone. Let there be divine order. Nerves unpinched. Blood flow. Disease, everything. Get healed in Jesus' name. Hearts, lungs, backs, bronchitis, bronchial diseases be gone. Arthritis, feet, legs, toes, hips, legs, all kind of parts of your body, brains, headaches, be healed. From the top of your head to the sole of your feet, he sent his word and healed you. The Son of Righteousness arrives with healing in his wings. Receive the stripe. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed. Pick up your bed and walk. Faith is an act. And we all say,
I agree in Jesus' name.
The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your second best friend in the whole wide world, Sherry Medlock. Yes, I am. But your best friend is the Lord Jesus Christ. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And oh, church, no greater love is this than a man lay down his life for his friend. I love you too. I'm looking forward to next time when all the beautiful souls in here and all over the world, I love you, I feel your spirits, get together as a family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
And your radios are tuned in to W272BA, 102.3 FM and 91.5 FM, WMIE.
No more tears, for they'll be wiped away. There is a Savior for the sinner. He is my friend and my forgiver. There is new mercy that flows like rivers. It washes me. It washes me. I believe in Jesus. He is the Son of God. He died and rose to save my soul. I confess that He is Lord. There is a cross that reminds me there's only one who is worthy, and there is a grave forever empty. Oh, I believe, yes, I
of you. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Hear the sound? On WMIE 91.5 FM.
When the mountains look so big.
It was just three words, but it changed. My life, just a childlike truth that consumed my mind. From my life's first breath till the day I rise, all I need to know is this age.
Yeah.
Jesus.